That was great. Well, take out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. Today, we come to the final study in what's been almost a two-year study in the book of John. So on the one hand, I'm delighted to be able to finish this, to have finished or finishing something that we started 2 years ago, because all along the way, you could give up, right? And you could just say, you know, this has been too much, and it's been too big of a challenge, and so we'll just stop somewhere along the way. But we've continued, and it's been a wonderful study, and I'm just so thrilled about the things that I've learned and continue to try to work out in my life. Well, today we come to a final conversation. We started this conversation last week, and I hope that you are here. If you were not here, then you can maybe go back and do a little review by picking it up on the internet. By the way, if you're trying to use the internet this morning with your Bible, we're down right now. Our whole campus is down on the internet. I mean, we're not down on the internet, but you know what I mean. The internet is not working. And I heard somebody's over there trying to fix it right now. But so use the Bible in front of you in the pew. I know it's awkward to use one that has pages, but you know, go ahead and use the Bible in the pew this morning. So many different options today, right? Of all the ways that we can access the Bible, and I just think it's fabulous. But anyway, so we come to this final study in John chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to 25. And it really is a conversation that Jesus had with Peter. And what caused this conversation to happen was Peter evidently had made a decision to go back to his former occupation. And in so doing, the essence of what we find here is that Peter was doing that just as that's what he was going to do. He was basically running away from the calling that the Lord had on his life. And so Jesus has a DTR conversation with him, a define the relationship conversation. And this morning we come to this DTR, a define the relationship conversation. Now, I'm up on DTRs. I think they're very important conversations or considerations to have in our lives. So, for instance, you probably have done some DTRs with regard to certain matters that you do or don't do. For instance, exercise. Maybe you need to have a define the relationship conversation or consideration with regard to exercise, or maybe you've already had that consideration and you decided that whenever you get the urge to exercise, you just roll over and go right back to sleep. You know, that's as far as it goes for you. I'm not sure. Maybe you've had a define the relationship conversation with vegetables, and you don't want anything to do with vegetables. Broccoli is not something that you go to, or whatever. There are so many different ways that you can define the relationship. When Bernice and I were dating 1,000 years ago, okay, not quite 1,000, but about 40, actually, which dates me. But we were little kids, okay? We were very, very young children at the time. But when we started dating each other, there was a point where when we were in college, I came to a point where I defined my future relationship with Bernice. I was getting interested in another girl, and I had to come to the place of saying, do I want to continue to date Bernice, or am I open now to dating somebody else? At that point in time, I defined the relationship. And quite frankly, boy, did I ever make the right decision to continue in the relationship with her. And I was so grateful that she was interested in continuing in the relationship with me. Oftentimes, when you talk about DTRs today, we're talking about a relationship that somebody has with somebody else. So it could be a couple who's defining the relationship. It could be related to, you know, we've spent a lot of time together, and it's about time that we took it to the next level, that we took the next step in this relationship. We've been dating, but we really should look at seriously getting married. One of the challenges today is having that conversation. So many couples don't want to go to that level. They live together, and even in living together, are unwilling to go to the next level of commitment in their relationship. So these conversations happen readily, or they need to happen readily. And of course, they can happen in other areas of our lives as well, related to our careers. I don't know if you saw the article just a couple weeks ago in the Los Altos Town Crier, where they were describing what happened here recently to Amanda North. She's a Los Altos resident, but she was at the Boston Marathon. She was there near the finish line when the explosions went off. And one explosion happened near her. It was close enough to her that fortunately she escaped injury, but the person next to her was in bad shape. And she administered aid heroically to this person that was next to her, this 29-year-old woman. She stayed with her. She administered first aid the best that she possibly could, and this woman made it. She was at the Boston Marathon because she wanted to support her daughter who was running in the marathon, her 20-something-year-old daughter. And evidently, when the explosion went off, her daughter was still about a mile away from the finish line where Amanda North was standing. She said to her daughter the next day, "I really believe that I am alive because there's something more for me to do yet." She came back to the Silicon Valley and she quit her high-tech job that she had been in for 30 years. And she's chasing now a new future. She defined the relationship because something happened in her life that said, "I've got to think about whether or not what I am doing right now is what I should be doing." And some of us this morning, if we were to think about defining the relationship, we might want to take a look at our work as well. Or maybe it has to do with school. Or maybe it even has to do with something like social networking or our phone and, you know, our tie to the phone. We can't let it go. In fact, it's on right now. I'm looking at it right now. I wish I could access my email or whatever it is. It's just so much a part of our life. Or it could be the relationship that we have with a friend. It's not where it should be. Or it could be. It could be a spouse. It could be the boss. It could be an employee. It could be a teacher, a counselor, a coach, a trainer. It could be an unbeliever. There are so many ways that you could do DTRs today. But to me, the most important DTR, the most important matter with regard to defining the relationship is the one that we come to this morning. This matter that's found in John chapter 21, where in essence, Jesus is saying to Peter, "Peter, what kind of relationship are we going to have?" I mean, it's been nice up to this point in time. We spent 3.5 years together. But what kind of relationship are we going to have? And so this gives us an opportunity. I don't know how long you've been around the Lord. I don't know what your relationship is like with the Lord. But the Lord would ask us the same question. What kind of relationship are we going to have from here on out? What kind of relationship have we had up to this point in time? Are you giving me the kind of relationship that I want with you? That's really a huge question, isn't it? God comes to us and he says, "This is the relationship that I want with you. Are you willing to have this kind of a relationship with me?" And in this conversation that comes up here in John chapter 21, verses 15 and following, it is a perfect conclusion to the entire book of John. Because the book of John has gone to great lengths to show us that God wants a relationship with us. And so he sent his Lamb, the Lamb of God, came into the world to take away the sins of the world. But the world has to decide whether or not they want a relationship with this awesome God. And every one of us really are at that point too, on a day-by-day basis. What kind of relationship do I want to have with God at this moment, in this time, and as it concerns the future, and what I'm doing in my career, and what I'm doing in my family, and what I'm doing with my finances, and just like every area is impacted by this relationship with God. And if I could summarize what Jesus in essence says to Peter here, it would be this: are you going to love me or not? There's a country western song that says, "Are you going to kiss me or not?" And I think about that song when I look at this passage, and really, in essence, that's what Peter is being asked by the Lord. Are you going to love me or not? Are we going to take this relationship to the place that it could be, or is this where it ends? Because up to this point in time, it's been an up and down thing with Peter, if you followed his life. And now we're on one of those downward skids. He's denied the Lord. He's abandoned the Lord. And Jesus comes back. This is the third post-resurrection appearance to Peter and the other disciples. And in this appearance, again, he's still trying to define that relationship with Peter, to drive Peter, hopefully, to the point where Peter says, yes, we're going to go on with this. And last week, we talked about the approach that Jesus took. I loved looking at that with you. The approach that you take with the person who still hasn't got it. Did you use the approach last week at all? Did you go to somebody who still hasn't got it, like Jesus came to the disciples? Did you ask questions? Are you asking questions? What an incredible discovery to see that in this passage, that primarily what Jesus did in helping Peter get it was he asked questions. Did you find yourself thinking about more questions and conversations that you were having with people that maybe weren't getting it? And did you express loving kindness as Jesus expressed loving kindness to the disciples by doing something they didn't deserve? They didn't deserve to catch fish after they had basically, at this point, turned their back on the Lord and gone back to their former occupations. And yet the Lord made it possible for them to catch 153 fish. And that wasn't enough. He then brought them to shore, and he cooked breakfast for them. And not only having cooked breakfast for them, he even served them. The last people that some of us would want to serve would be somebody who's turned their back on us. And yet Jesus did that. That's the approach that he took as he was trying to help these guys get it. And so this last part of this account, of this story, is really wonderful, because we see here then Jesus taking that approach and then building on that approach in order to hopefully help Peter get it. Love him more than he loves him now. And by the way, we're just going to look at three considerations that come up that Jesus brings to Peter's attention. These three considerations all of us can use when we're considering our relationship with somebody, or we're having a conversation where we're trying to define the relationship, or we can use these considerations when determining what it is that we should be doing with our life. It could be related to our career right now. It could be related to how we spend our money, how we use our time. There are so many different ways that we can use these considerations. There are three matters that we're going to focus on this morning that the Lord focuses on in defining this relationship. Well, let's look at it. First matter is found in verses 15 to 17. You've heard this account many times, but let's read over it and think about it just for a minute. John 21:15. When they had finished eating, so this is Jesus with the six followers and Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, by the way, just note that, we don't know what transpired after they got to the shore with all of the fish, and Jesus invited them to eat. But it says that possibly there's something not said here about a conversation. This is the first part of whatever went on that's recorded in terms of a conversation, which just kind of makes me wonder if maybe tension didn't fill the air. Have you ever sat around a table with somebody where you knew you needed to talk about something and it was not yet being talked about, but you knew you needed to get to it? I just wonder if some of that was going on here. I mean, it's kind of like, when is the Lord going to say something about what it was that we were doing here in terms of us having gone back to our former occupations? So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he broke the silence, if that's in fact there was a silent period of time. He said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And if you have the New International Version, it uses the word truly here to tell us something different about this particular love as regarding another love that will be mentioned here. Do you truly love me more than these? And I said last week, as we defined the these, that I believe Jesus was not talking about these being the other apostles. I don't think he was making a comparison between Peter and the other apostles and saying, you need to love me more than them. I think he was making a comparison between Loving the Lord and fishing. Loving the Lord and the fishing nets. Loving the Lord and the fishing industry. Loving the Lord and having fish. I think he was saying, do you love me more than these, than what you've gone back to? Yes, Lord, this is Peter answers, he said, you know, and the word know here is the word that describes facts. You know the facts. You know that I love you. And notice here, it doesn't say truly love you. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know, and again the facts, that I know truly here that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? No, truly this time. Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know, again, you know the facts, you know all things. And then he says, Lord, first he said, Lord, you know, speaking of facts, all things, you know, and this is a different word for know. It's the word that describes by experience. So not only do you know the facts about my love, but you also know by experience that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So what's Jesus doing? Well, he's defining the relationship with the conversation with Peter by using a question that he asked three times. And this, some have said, this question being asked three times counteracts Peter's denial, which was three times, where he was asked if he knew the Lord, and three times he said, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. So here Jesus, possibly counteracting that, asks him three times the same question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? But you got to get behind the English language and see the Greek language to truly understand what's going on here. So I gave you a little chart that you could use to actually define what exactly is going on. The first question that Jesus asked Peter was, do you agape me? That's the word for love. And so the New International Version defines it as, do you truly love? Do you love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with your entire being, a love of sacrifice? Do you love me that way? And what was Peter's reply? I phileo you, or phileo you. I like you. As a friend, I like you a lot. He doesn't reply in the same word, using the same word that Jesus used. He's just using a different word to describe a lesser love. I like you. I don't really love you. In the same way you're describing, Jesus doesn't challenge that. He doesn't admonish him. He just simply makes the statement, an injunction, well then, feed my lambs. I'll take it. Even if you like me, okay, feed my lambs. And the word lambs here speaks of young lambs. So he's describing those who are young in the faith. Teach those who are young in the faith my words. Teach them about me. If you love me, teach others about me. And then he said a second time, do you agape me? And again, this time, Peter answered the same way. I phileo you. I like you a lot. And Jesus then changed his injunction this time to care for my sheep, shepherd my sheep. And he uses the word sheep, which is an older term than the word lamb. So now he's talking about those who are maturing, those who are maturing as my followers. Protect them and guide them and lead them and sacrifice for them. Make a difference in how you live in the lives of others. And then he asked him the third time the question, but this time Jesus uses the language that Peter used, do you phileo me? Do you even like me? And again, Peter this time says, I phileo you, I like you, I like you a lot. And Jesus then says, well then, feed my sheep, give them the food that they need. to grow strong and healthy and to mature. Now, what is Jesus saying to Peter? He's saying, Peter, listen, Peter, if you love me, fulfill the calling that I have on your life. You see, I've called you to something specific. I've called you to something unique. In fact, what's interesting about this is that Jesus doesn't have this conversation with any of the other disciples, but he has the conversation with Peter. Because Peter has a unique calling. This calling has been unique from day one when Jesus, even in the early days of calling Peter, said, and on this rock, he called him the rock, the Petra. There was a unique calling that Jesus had for Peter. And at this point, in this defining of this relationship and where it's going to go from here, Jesus is saying to Peter, are you going to follow me? Will you follow me fully? Will you live like I lived? Will you serve and shepherd and sacrifice? Will you give your life to reaching and teaching and leading and caring for the sheep? Will you have, let me just say it a different way, will you have the foundational role in starting and growing the church that I've called you to? Will you do all of that and more? Peter, if you love me, even if you like me, will you do what it is that I've called you to do by serving others and giving your life for my mission, not yours? What's the first consideration in this defining of the relationship? It's calling. You see, God made Peter, and he designed Peter with a purpose, with a unique calling to be a foundational individual in the early church and its teaching and its leadership and its development. When I thought about that, I thought about that quote that Eric Little in Chariots of Fire made. You remember that? Some of you saw that movie. You remember that? Where he said, God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. What was he talking about? He was talking about calling. He was talking about a unique calling that God had on his life. God had a unique calling on the life of David. You remember that Acts chapter 13, speaking back toward David, said that when David, verse 36, when David had served God's purpose, God's purpose in his own generation, then he fell asleep and he was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. In other words, David chose to serve the purpose of God in his life. And that's where Jesus is going with this conversation with Peter. He's saying to him, Peter, are you going to do what it is that I designed you to do? Are you going to do the purpose that I have for your life? Are you going to feed my sheep? Are you going to shepherd my sheep? Are you going to care for my sheep? Are you going to do what it is that I've been giving you an example of? Will you go out and fish for sheep and then make disciples out of those sheep? And really, the first consideration in our relationship with God concerns this very same matter. It concerns the matter of calling. Because God has a unique call on each one of our lives. There was a unique call on the life of Peter, and none of the other disciples were asked to do what it was that Peter was asked to do. And every one of us that are sitting here this morning, we have a unique call for our life. There is a will, God's will, for our life individually and, yes, collectively. And the question that we need to ask ourselves in terms of where we are in the relationship with the Lord and taking this relationship possibly to a brand new place is connected to asking the question, am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? Am I fulfilling his calling right now, today, at this season in my life? And it could be at different seasons in our lives where that calling changes in unique ways. I think about a friend who was in music ministry. He was trained at Juilliard. He was in music ministry. He had a master's in music. I sat under his music ministry for years. I've mentioned him before, Jim Lodgren. I mentioned him last week because he was the guy that took me out to Taco Bell after elder meetings. That's the story I already talked about last week. But Jim Lodgren,
He was in music ministry for years and years and years, and he came to a point in his life where he felt like, you know what? I think I finished that work that God designed me to do there, and I think he wants me over here now. And for, I don't know, maybe it's been the last 15 years, he's been a full-time missionary. It's been a full-time mission. That's a huge change. Yesterday, I flipped on the Senior PGA Golf Championship. Some of you didn't even know it was playing. What's golf, you say to yourself. But I flipped this on, and I was watching these names that are from yesteryear, but, you know, they're still good players. And as I was watching about this tournament, my mind went back to my friend, John Champ, who died this year. John and I have had a relationship, or we had a relationship for probably 30 years, I don't know, long time. And I remember the first time I met him and I played golf with him, and how much better of a golfer that he was than I was, and I immediately knew there will never be a day that I will ever, ever have a chance to make it on the PGA Tour. Because I was watching a guy play who played on the tour for 5 years. He had a great experience on the tour. He played in the U.S. Open. That was the kind of experience that he had on the PGA Tour. But then he came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Christ began to change his life. And he began to see that his calling in life wasn't to go on and continue to play on the tour, but his calling was to leave the tour and begin to do other things. He was great on the tour, but he had a calling that was greater than being out on the tour. Now, that's not the case of all these who are followers of Christ. Maybe God wants them on the tour. That's fine. But for John, if he had stayed on the tour, it would have been to miss his calling. And when we did his memorial service earlier this year, I still remember one or two of his kids who were speaking at the service saying something to the effect, you know, one of the things that I still admire about my father was that after he left the tour, he made a decision to never play golf on weekends, but to spend the time with us. And as far as we can remember, he kept that commitment. Calling. And it could be related to your season in life. And really, the question that Jesus is asking here is such a relevant question for all of us to consider this morning, because it could be that even up to this point in time, we still haven't been living out the calling that God has for us. Yes, we're living out a good purpose, but we're not living out God's purpose. And if you are where God wants you to be, then just thank God that you're there and continue to give yourself to the task that God has given you. But that was the question that came to Peter, because he had gone back to his former occupation, which was easier for him. It was much easier to do that than it would be to follow the Lord faithfully. Now, interesting, we're not really given all of the facts because we don't know. So you could ask the question very fairly, did Peter ever go back to his fishing occupation? We're not told. The Lord never told him he couldn't fish. He just said, I want you to fish for the souls of men and women. And you could do that through your occupation if your vocation is serving the Lord. And so really, it's not even a matter of occupation. The whole issue here was that Jesus' attention had turned to his occupation, and he was forsaking his vocation. And what his vocation was to serve the Lord's calling and the Lord's purpose with his life. And you could be, yes, an engineer and serve the Lord's vocation as an engineer or whatever it is. It all depends upon what you believe your purpose in life is and the calling that God has called you to. Do you have that fixed in your mind? Are you doing what you believe is the will of God for your life? Are you sure you're at the center of God's will? That's the issue here, and that is always the issue in defining the relationship that we have with the Lord. Am I doing what God put me on planet Earth to do? Well, there's a second matter Jesus brings up. You think that was enough? There's a second matter he brings up in this whole determine or define the relationship conversation. Look at verse 18. I tell you the truth, Jesus says to Peter. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, follow me. Look at that closely. He's telling Peter, you know, Peter, there are these days that you've had in life where everything was carefree, and you just did whatever you wanted to do, and you put on whatever clothes you wanted to put on. It was really just all at your discretion. But there's a day coming when you're older that your hands are going to be stretched out, and somebody else is going to dress you. They're going to put other clothes on you. And then they're going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. And Jesus said, and what we're talking about now is your death. And of course, what Jesus was telling Peter here was that he was going to die on a cross. It would be against his will, but it would be done by the will of others. And by the will of others who would dress him and then lead him to death on a cross, he would be killed. And if you know the history, you know that Peter ultimately was crucified on a cross. The only difference was he refused to be crucified right side up. He asked that he be crucified different than his Lord was crucified. He asked that he be crucified upside down because he was not worthy of being crucified as the Lord was. And so he was crucified for his faith. But at this point in time, that possibly would have never happened had Peter not been willing to consider what Jesus was speaking to him about now, and that was the cost. He said, Peter, you need to understand there's a cost that's going to be paid in following me. It's going to cost you to be one of my followers. You know, I think that this cost factor, the second consideration, this cost factor oftentimes is neglected when we talk to people about the Lord. In fact, it could very well be when somebody talked to you about possibly becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, or maybe any conversations that you've ever had up to this point in time with people about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ have never considered the matter of cost. The matter of what's this going to cost? What's it going to mean in your life? The matter of how Paul said, you're going to be crucified with Christ daily. And it's no longer going to be Christ or you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And so this matter of following Christ is something where you give up your will for Christ's will. Are you willing to do that? You see, what Jesus is doing here is something that I think needs to be done in relationships that are clearly defined. Like my nephew, he got into a relationship with a woman who had a child already, and this child had cancer. And she said to him, rightfully so, you need to know that if you're interested in me, that this package comes with a son, and this package comes with a son who has cancer right now, and we don't know what his future is going to be. Do you want to get into this relationship? He did. They're married now. Anybody tell you that if you get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you? That there's a price involved in following him? That's what Jesus is saying to Peter right now. This is going to cost you your life. What I'm asking you to do is going to cost you your life. You're going to go to the cross. A couple that decides to go on with their relationship and to get married. Yes, they've been dating and it's been really nice. And maybe they've been single for a long time. And you see this oftentimes in singles' lives especially. I'm just so used to my independence. I'm so used to not having to, you know, think about anybody else. I'm just used to living the way I want to live without having to check in on anybody else. If they get into a serious relationship and they want to take this relationship to the next place, they're going to have to consider whether or not they're willing to pay the cost of having a relationship with somebody else that's going to mean sacrifice, right? Because good marriages are built upon intimacy, and intimacy only comes as a result of sacrifice, where you're not thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about the other person. Are you willing to pay the price of that? A couple should ask. A couple should consider. This cost factor needs to be considered in really all that we do as we think about how's the relationship going to change. I have a friend over in Phoenix, Arizona that was on the police force of the Phoenix Police Department for years and years until he finally retired. And several times during those years, he was offered promotions, and every time he turned them down, he only went as far as sergeant in all of the years when he could have probably gone much farther in the department. But the reason, there were two primary reasons he turned it down. Number one, because he knew that if he went there, it was going to possibly take more time away from his family, and he didn't want to do that. And number two, he wanted to be out on the streets. He didn't want to get stuck in an office. See, he sat down and he considered the cost. I had several conversations with a woman named Katie over here at this water store where we were picking up water about every week. And we built this relationship with this water person and her husband at the store. But she was there all the time. And I said, Katie, what's this doing to your family? She said, we don't even have family time. Do you ever get time off? She said, no, I don't get any time off. And so several times in those conversations, I brought that into the conversation and I just said, is it worth it? I asked her to consider whether or not it was worth it. It shocked me when recently she said, Dave, I'm closing this store. I'm selling out. I'm selling it to somebody else. I don't know if I had anything to do with that. Probably not. But I'll tell you what, she made a wise decision that was based upon sitting down and defining her relationship to her work and saying, this isn't worth it. But when we consider whether or not this relationship with the Lord is worth it, the answer is just the opposite. It's absolutely worth it, no matter what the cost. And what Jesus is trying to do here is help Peter come to the point where he's willing to say what we need to say, that no matter what the cost, I don't care what the cost is, I'm going to love you, Lord. I'm going to love you with all of my heart. And if I have to give up a bunch of other stuff to love you like I should, and by the way, in loving God, what also comes with this is a love for others, right? It's loving others. Because we can't love God if we don't love others. The very way that we prove our love for God is by loving others. So it's a package deal. Maybe one of the factors we need to consider in a relationship that we're in right now is whether or not we want to pay that cost or whether or not we should pay that cost. And Jesus is saying in this case, yes, Peter, pay it. It's worth it. Consider your calling, consider the cost. And then he adds one more matter. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Of course, this is John. So you get the picture. Jesus is in a very intense conversation about this relationship that they're having with Peter. And Peter turns around. Jesus has just said to him, you need to know you're going to die, not because you want to die, but because somebody else is going to kill you. When you're old, they're going to dress you and they're going to kill you. And Peter at that point turns and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Who's that? That's John, the guy that wrote this book. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? So John gives this parenthetical note about this conversation that Jesus had with the Lord during that final supper. And when Peter, having turned around and saw John, he saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Now, have you ever done this? You're asked to do something and you don't think it's fair, you don't think it's just, you don't think it's right, and so you turn around and say, well, wait a minute. You know, you're asked, remember as a kid, your parents said to you, you need to wash the dishes. Well, what about, you know, Mark? What's he doing? Well, I'm not, you know, there's really not an issue what Mark's doing right now. It's just, I just asked you to wash the dishes. This is what we do though, right? Well, what about, because we want everything to be fair. We want everything to be the same. And so this is a pretty natural question. You got to love how Jesus answers. Jesus answered verse 22. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? In other words, this is really none of your business, okay, Peter? If I want him to stay alive until I return, then fine. It's my prerogative. But here's the deal. You must follow me, regardless of what this costs. You must follow me. Well, then it says, because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. This one, John. But Jesus did not say, John clarifies, that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. So John is saying, I can verify that this is the conversation that Jesus had, but he wasn't saying, you know, I was going to stay alive until he returns. He was saying that could happen. He wasn't saying it would happen. But the point here wasn't that anyway. The point was Jesus' conversation with Peter, where he's in essence asking Peter this question, are you going to make the commitment necessary to go on in a relationship with me? Will you commit yourself to faithfully following me, regardless of what everybody else is asked to do? Stop looking around at what other people are doing or being asked to do, and would you get your eyes off of them and get your eyes on me and what I've called you to do, and would you make the commitment that I'm asking you to make? Third consideration, commitment. Commitment. Will you pledge yourself? Will you commit yourself to love me for the remainder of your life? Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, the word present there is used in the aorist tense. And this aorist tense speaks of a point in time that a person decides to make a commitment to God once and for all completely. It's similar to the decision that a couple makes when they decide to get married, and then they take their vows, and they stand before each other, and they stand before God, and they make the commitment that this is going to be, for better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. And I began to understand the commitment that I was making when Daryl Del Husay, who used to be the pastor over at San Lorenzo Valley First Baptist Church, when Bernice and I drove over on three different occasions from Fresno, California, all the way over to San Lorenzo Valley to First Baptist Church to meet with Daryl Del Husay, who was hardly any older than I was at the time, but I didn't realize that, to get wise counsel about marriage. And I will never forget him sticking his finger in the air and saying to us, Dave, Bernice, you guys are making a commitment on January 10th, 1976 to marry each other for better or worse. And this commitment that you are making is a covenant commitment that you are making with each other, an unconditional covenant commitment with each other before God. And this commitment is going to begin here, and it goes from there all the way through your life. It goes until death do you part. And there are going to be times, and then he took his finger and he said, there are going to be times in this commitment where you're going to be above the line and you're going to be thinking, I don't get why people have problems with marriage. This marriage thing is easy. Are you kidding? I mean, what's the problem? And then there are going to be other times where below the line and you're going to be thinking, what was I thinking when I said yes to you? You got to be kidding. And he said, you got to come back to commitment, this for better or worse commitment. Don't let your emotions run your relationship. And what Jesus is asking for here is a solid pledge, a solid presentation commitment, a no matter what kind of commitment, to take this relationship from where it was to where it needs to go. And where was it? It was at, I like you a lot. Lord, I like you a lot, but let's just keep it there. And Jesus is saying it's not enough. I want a wholehearted commitment from you. I want an entirely abandoned commitment to my purposes for your life, will you make that kind of commitment for me, to me? You know, are there any number of ways this morning that we could define the relationship? You could define the relationship that you have today with this church. You say, this is what it's going to be like for me from here on out with regard to this church, or maybe even with regard to membership, or with regard to witnessing, or with regard to baptism. All of those perhaps need to be defined. You could define the relationship with regard to your career and whether or not you are in your place of calling, and are you making the necessary cost involved or willing to pay the price involved for what God wants you to do with your career, or are you making that commitment that he wants you to make? You could look at those areas. You could define the relationship to time or other relationships or marriage or whatever it might be. But of all the DTRs that we could have, the one that matters the most is this one, because this one can impact every other relationship we will ever have in life. And let me ask it to you this way. Why would we not want to take a relationship from, I like you a lot, it's really nice to be your friend, it's really nice to have you around, it's really nice to hang out with you. Why would we not want to take that to an agape level? To, I'm going to love you entirely and completely with my body. I'm just amazed that God makes that relationship possible. Can you believe that? That God makes it possible for people like us to have that kind of a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Very last verse in the John account says this, verse 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. But she's saying, think about it. Do you realize who Jesus was? Do you realize how awesome and amazing and incredible and incomparable Jesus is? There is no one greater who has ever lived. And he wants a relationship with you, and he wants a relationship with me. And he doesn't want just a relationship where we're just friends. He wants an all-out love relationship where we share with each other in intimate ways that transform our lives. I said this week at Cool Summer Nights, I had the privilege of speaking at Cool Summer Nights, there came a point where I found out that Bernice was interested in a relationship with me. As a kid, I found out Bernice was interested in a relationship with me. Now, her parents found out about that. They were shocked. Especially her father. He was the custodian at the church, and he had caught me on one occasion in my 1963 Ford Falcon spinning donuts out in the church parking lot. So he remembered me as the guy in the green Falcon, you know. I can't imagine what the conversation was like when Bernice came home and said, oh, by the way, Daddy, I'm really interested in Dave Gudgel. Dave who? I'll tell you what, my parents were ecstatic. It's like the answer to all of their prayers and fasting. Bernice Simonelli, that's wonderful, Dave. We support you, yes. How much time would you like to spend with her? You can have it. Go, go. Here are the keys to the car. Hang out. Yes, yes. So when I found out that Bernice was interested in a relationship with me, I latched on to that. And I have never let go. Listen, and my life is better. It is a million times better because of what Bernice has brought into my life. And when I think about the comparison here, friends, God wants a relationship with us. The God of the universe wants a relationship with us, and he has made that relationship possible through Jesus Christ. And he's asking us this morning, do you want it? You see, that's what the whole book of John is about. In fact, that's what the whole Bible is about. It's about God seeking to restore a broken relationship with man and woman. And us in a position to choose whether or not we want that relationship. And quite frankly, many times we make it really, really challenging for God to have a relationship with us. But his loving kindnesses never cease, and his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. And so what Jesus is saying here to Peter certainly is applicable to us this morning, isn't it? Will you wholeheartedly embrace the calling, the cost, and the commitment that I have for you? Are you going to love me or not? Are you not just going to like me? Are you going to take it to the place where this relationship needs to go? And this is where I want it to go. You have to decide whether or not you want to take it there. Are you going to love me or not? Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful way to bring the book of John to a close. Thank you for this conversation that you had with Peter that shows us your amazing grace, that shows us that even when we fail you, you will not fail us, that you seek us out. And this morning, perhaps that's what you're attempting to do in the lives of many here today. We have repeatedly failed you. We have repeatedly turned our back on you. You have repeatedly made attempts to have a more intimate relationship with us, but we have hardened our hearts to that. Oh God, I don't know why we would do that. Sure, we could give the explanations, but why would we do that with the amazing God of the universe? The God who has extended his love to us time and time again, why would we do that? Why would we ever think that our ways would be better than yours? Forgive us. And may we make the commitments today that you would desire for us to make in this relationship with you. Thank you that Peter went on to make those kind of commitments. He began to feed your sheep. He began to reach out to fish like he had never reached out to people that were lost before. And the church was transformed even on the day of his first message, where 3,000 found faith in you because he said, yes, I'm going to take this to the next place. Oh God, may the same thing happen in our lives because we have embraced your calling. No matter what the cost, we've made the commitment. So help us be encouraged in that this morning and help us respond appropriately in that as well. And just before I finish this prayer this morning, let me just ask you, if there's a commitment God's leading you to make, will you make it to him right now? Will you just tell him, Lord, yes, I want to make the commitment. I hear your voice speaking to me today. Change my life. Transform me. Transform this relationship that I have with you. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, God waits. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance in Jesus Christ. And he invites you into that relationship right now. And if you will only respond with faith, if you will only receive that gift, this relationship can begin. And so I invite you to do that. Tell him. If that's the desire of your heart, say, Lord, I am so sorry that I have fought you this long, that I have resisted your will and substituted mine. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to love you with all of my heart. I want you to lead my life. I want to live from this moment on for your calling. No matter what the cost, I want to make the commitment. Change me into the person that you want me to be. Forgive me for my sins. I want to be one of your followers. Father, thank you that you hear prayers like that. May we go on from this place this morning with new levels of commitment to you, in love with you more. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But we're going to have our worship team come back, and it's just so appropriate to end this time today with some worship, some songs and praise to God. But let me say this. If today you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you made a commitment that you need to talk to somebody about, before you leave the building this morning, would you come up and meet with one of us, our prayer team, or drop by the Welcome Center? But talk to somebody, talk to a friend. Let us help you get started in this new commitment to Jesus Christ, a relationship with Christ. And we love to do what we can to be a part of that with you. But what a thrill it is to be here today and just have a sense that God's speaking to all of us. And so let's just honor Him again through song.